Good morning, Sola. Good morning, everyone. A hearty welcome to everyone that's come this morning, and a hearty welcome to those that are listening online, and to this group here in front of us wanting so desperately for me to quieten down so they can lead us in some singing. Welcome here. And I see we have a young pianist here. Oh, that's beautiful. That's nice. Thank you so much for helping the group out. It's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day, another day that God has given us. And we give him praise for that. This morning, it may seem, I'm dreaming we say framed, or may seem strange to you. And I think my wife was even surprised this morning as I walked up here and I don't have my suit jacket on. I forgot it at home. I took my sweater off and I hung it up and I said, okay, get your suit jacket, but got sidetracked, put my shoes on and put my jacket on. So this morning, I'm sure I can preach without that suit jacket this morning. So we don't put our trust in that jacket. We put our trust in the Lord. So this morning, excuse me for that. If that does bother you, I hope it doesn't, but that's how things are sometimes. God humbles a person through these times many times. But I'm thankful that you have all come this morning, and I see there's from quite young to old, and I say thank you for coming, and again, a hearty welcome to everyone. How has your time been the last year or two, or three, or four, or 60, or whatever it is? How has your life gone? Have you had your battles? Have you had your struggles? What has come before you, and what have you had to face? First of all, maybe as a child, and then we could say as possibly a parent, for those who are parents, and then those as grandparents, and those as great-grandparents. Those as leaders of business, those as workers, those that take care of the church. We often think that may mean nothing, but it also has its challenges. Those that are Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, this worship team here, I'm sure they have their challenges too. Especially if Ken's mandolin isn't always in tune, it may throw them off. But things like that, right? There's challenges that we go through. As leaders of the church, we go through challenges. But how do we go on? This morning, with the strength of the Lord, I plan to share a story of the Old Testament and use that as our example that we can use for our life today. But before we go on, let's start in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this wonderful morning that we have. You have granted us life, and though as your children, believing in you and your Son Jesus, have accepted your Son Jesus, if we would be gone from here, we know we would have a better place. And Lord, as a believer, as a child of yours, I know that is something that I look forward to. But in the meantime, we are here on earth. And God, when I wake up, sometimes I just think of, God, what do you have for me in store today? Some days are easy. They go through very gently. But then there's days that things that come upon a person's hands to deal with, and they're harsh or very hard to think through what to do next. Lord, I pray that as we go through this message today, that you would be the one speaking the words that need to be spoken to me, firstly, and then to the congregation, to the listeners. And Lord, that you would, through your Spirit, just enlighten our understanding and give us courage through your word. We pray for your blessing as we worship together here today. In Jesus' name.
In the blue hymnal number 391, I surrender all. And invite you to stand.
I will ever love.
Number 400 at Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free.
Number 407, Near the Cross.
Jesus keep me near the cross, there a prayer. All a healer.
Thank you. Thank you for choosing those songs that you chose to lead us in worship this morning. And as we were singing through them, I fought back some tears. Years is spent in vanity and pride. So empty. My life was empty. It was about myself. But the fourth verse of the second song, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. If it wasn't the love of God that drew this plan for all of us, what then? Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. The grace of God. He brought it down to us so we could have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. There was a huge gulf between us and God. And he spanned it with the bridge of Jesus. Such a beautiful, beautiful song. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And then the last song. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever. Till I reach that golden strand, just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. So fitting with the message I prepared for today. There's a rest coming, but it's beyond that river, beyond that gulf that's between us and God. As children and as people, if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that bridge that reaches over that gulf to God. This morning for text, which I'm going to refer to at the beginning and at the end, and in between possibly, because found in Joshua chapter 1, the last part of verse 5 and the first part of verse 6. Joshua chapter 1, the last part of verse 5 and the first part of verse 6. This is what God says to Moses. The Lord himself spoke this part of me to Joshua, not to Moses, to Joshua. He says, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. God is speaking to Joshua and he says, you know what? I'm there for you. I will not leave you. But you have something that you need to do, and that is to be strong and to be of good courage. In German we say Mut Hole. We go on courageously with our life. Having said that, at the beginning of the chapter, we find that it's written that Moses has passed away now. Moses' death has happened. And the leadership is over into Joshua's hand to lead the Israelites. But then at the time that Moses was still alive and in leadership, they were challenged with some things of their life. And as we know, numerous of them, in the years that they lived in Egypt under Pharaoh's ruling and leadership, as they fled and they were in the wilderness for 40 years, there comes a time that God had a message for Moses again. And he had numerous. And he's saying to Moses, there's a land that I want you to possess, but you have to do something. And he says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 20. There in the middle of that verse, he says to Moses, and be ye of good courage. Sorry, he sent Moses, I want to correct this. Moses says to the spies, be ye of good courage. He's encouraging them. Today, my message is to you as listeners, be of good courage. We have an opportunity today to live our life in a light and allow Jesus Christ from the power of God to shine through us. Here is a group of people, the Israelites, chosen people by God, sent out for an opportunity to be a light to the world. And I can't help but say they messed up so many times. Oh, how I have messed up so many times. Numbers chapter 13 tells us how the Lord comes to Moses. And he says to Moses in verse 2, go send some men out. I want you to send them out to Canaan. I want you to take one man of every tribe and send them out and to go check out this land that I have prepared for you. And so Moses, he does that. He takes a man of every tribe. And in those 12 men that he chose to send out to check out this land, there's a man by the name of Joshua and a man by the name of Caleb are part of those 12. These men go out, they check out this land. It says in verse 17 that Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land. Check it out, what it's like. You know, the people that are dwelling in it, verse 18, check them out whether they are strong people or if they're weak. How many there are, if there's many or if there's just few people. And the land which they dwell in, is it bad land? Is it a good land? The cities, the tents, the strongholds, all these things. Check this land out. See if it's fat. See if it's lean. See if there's, in other words, see if there's a lot of good stuff in there. See if, you know, if there's great animals, fruit, and so on and so forth. Because he does go on in verse 20. And he says, you know, check it out if there's wood. And that's where he says in the middle of that verse 20, be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. And Moses knew it was the time of harvest. And he says, now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So he sends these 12 men out to check this land out. And they do that. And then we'll jump over to verse 25. And it says that they returned after searching out the land. They checked out the land. It took them 40 days to do this. And they came back to Moses and to Aaron. And they brought back word, as it says in verse 26. And they showed him up the fruit of the land. These men, it was, as it said, the time of the first grapes being ripe. And they cut down a branch with a cluster of grapes on it, and they carried it between two men. They carried that branch with that cluster of grapes back to Moses and Aaron. And so they present this fruit to them that they had brought from the land. And they gave, these men give them information. But the way I read it is there's 12 men here that have come back. 10 of them open their mouth, and maybe not all 10 of them. But in plain words, the negative ones. The ones that looked at the scary part or the part of that feared them, put fear into them. Verse 27, it says that they told him that it surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That there was no doubt in their mind that this land was a rich land and a good land. But verse 28, he goes on, this man who speaks first. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. So he's already bringing out negative parts and saying, this land that we went to look at is strong. The cities are built strong. The walls are strong. The walls of Jericho, for an example, were built very strong. And they felt that there is no way they could conquer this. But then in verse 30, Caleb stills the people. He tells the people, okay, in other words, we could sometimes say, okay, now it's my turn to speak. And Caleb says this in verse 31, we be not able. Pardon me, verse 30, I missed it. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's what he says. Very straightforward. He is in full trust, in full courage. We can go and possess this land. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, you and I know very clearly that when we have meetings or we have family gatherings or things like that, when something comes up, and we could say there's 10 against 2, who wins? The 10. The ones that have the bigger group is the majority, and that's how people want to turn their mind towards the majority people's thinking. And so these men standing up, they said, as I said in verse 31, we are not be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. So what would that do to you and me if they came in here and ten of them told us one thing? And at this point, only Caleb has stood up and said differently. Who would we believe? So these men, in verse 32, tells us they brought an evil report. And at the end of verse 32, it says, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants. And then he says further in verse 33, he says, we were in our old sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So in plain words, he's saying, when those people looked at us, we looked like grasshoppers to them. And we ourselves saw us as grasshoppers to them. We were like so small. And you know and I know that a grasshopper is something we can fairly easy conquer. Let me see in chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 2. Says, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And they start complaining. And they're like, Moses, Aaron, why didn't we just stay in Egypt? Why didn't we just stay in wilderness and just die there? Complaining, complaining, complaining. Verse 3 at the end, he says, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Why did we come up to here? You know, we were in the wilderness. We should have just turned around, gone right back to Egypt. We had food. We had life there. We had to work like slaves. Today for us, what has been our challenge in our years? Maybe the last week? Maybe the last year? 2, 3, 5, 20 or more? What have been our challenges? Have you ever said this, oh, I wish I was a child again? Has that ever crossed your mind? Sometimes when we were young, we had no worries. We said some things, but we knew our friends would get over it. Now when we're older, we say things, we do things, and it's like, it just burdens us. We complain, or we're down. We lost our courage. And at times we feel like, man, it would just be so nice if we could be a child again. We could get over these things, and there was no such thing as needing to really say sorry. We just forgave each other. And life went on as a child. Today, as we're older, We stop and we murmur. We complain over each other as church members, as leaders, as congregation. And we lose our courage because we're not a strong group together anymore. Can you see 12 men go? 12 men going, searching out the land. 10 come back negative, and 2 of them have good courage. I can only try to imagine myself being one of those 2, trying so hard to encourage the people. We're going to go to possess this land. We're fighting forward. But knowing that they were not doing this alone. They were doing this with God. These people in verse 4 of chapter 14, Numbers 14. The latter part, or verse 4, they said, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. How have you felt over the last year or two? Have you felt at times that you would love nothing more? Let's make a new pastor. Let's elect a new pastor and let's change the way we lead our congregation. Has that crossed your mind? Or maybe a bishop or a leader of the country. And let's return to where we were before. I've wished that at times. But God has a purpose. God has a land, a promised land ahead of us. And God says, as he said to Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Don't give up. Keep fighting forward. Had a wonderful opportunity to go ice fishing with my 2 brothers Thursday, Friday. Saturday we came home. My brothers know that I'm not a man that's lucky to catch. I feed them, they catch them. Well, I'm not sure who all prayed for me, but I got my share of fish this time around. And even if I had to take my brother's rods to take them out, the ones that were making the movement, but I got a few fish. Sometimes it just takes time and courage. For me, it was, in my mind, I'm going there for fellowship. I won't catch anything anyhow. I had totally in my mind, I'm not catching anything. That's just normal for me. And I've often thought, though I may not be fortunate to catch fish, but does God through me give me the opportunity to be a fisher of men and to draw men in to the kingdom? Oh, how far more important that is than catching a fish. But it was a joyous time, with good fellowship, some Marashlup. We had a great time together. We had a good meal from those fish, sharing a few things. But I don't remember us spending time, and no pat on the back, but I can't remember us really spending time complaining about other people. I'm not saying this to lift myself. I do far too far much of that as is. But to get together and to be of good courage, we also need stronger people around us. And my brothers are strong believers in the Lord. And they could encourage me in many ways that they don't know how, what they did. but an encouragement to be around them and just hearing them speak of the things that they did. It wasn't negative, like, oh, it would be nice if we could just all return back to Ukraine or Russia for where we came from because of what we're going through in this last year. But it was positive to fight forward in the land that we have. And so, Moses himself has this congregation complaining, and they want to go back to their old part of life. And Moses and Aaron, they fall on their face. Can you imagine? They're just tired. It's been a constant battle for them with this Israelite group. In the wilderness, doesn't matter where they are, it's a constant battle. Joshua's standing back. At this point, we don't hear anything about him. Finally, Joshua stands up. Joshua in verse 6. And Caleb, they rip their clothes. Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes, it tells us in verse 6. Can you imagine the attention that they got? They just ripped their clothes and they are so done with this people. And they spake in verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, and saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. Not we, it'll be God. They needed to strongly bring their attention to, it is he that will bring us through this. And he is the one that will give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And then another strong word to this congregation, to this group of people, and rebel not ye against the Lord. Stop fighting against God's will. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And then the congregation turned around and said, we're willing to pick up stones, as it says in verse 10. And all the congregation bade, stone them with stones. They wanted to get rid of Caleb and Joshua for speaking out the way they spoke out. God speaks to them. I see my time is running away. I think I'm going to need another Sunday morning. But God speaks to them. And he says, there's something going to happen here. These people have complained. They have murmured. 40 days they went to search at the land. For every day, I'm going to make 1 year of that. And for 40 years, you will not be able to go into this land. And your men from the age of 20 and up are going to pass away before you get to that land. And there comes a time that they are supposed to go forward. Moses has passed away. Joshua is left into leadership now. Back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And God says to Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 6. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, is what God is telling Joshua. What has come through this all that we have experienced in the last 2 years between a husband and a wife, between parents and siblings, between siblings, between parents and children. There has been division that has happened over the last 2 years in families that breaks my heart. Through such a simple thing, and I'll be brave, through such a simple thing as a vaccine, it has caused great division. And God has called us to be strong and of good courage. He will not fail us. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, Jesus speaks these words. Chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And I could say sister. Moreover, if thy sister shall trespass against thee, go and tell her fault between thee and her alone. And if she shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy sister. Jesus is calling us. If there's a difference between us, to go. Today my message is that God has promised you and me the same that he's promising Joshua. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, but be strong of good courage. And then in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Are we a child of God? Let's go along with Joshua and Caleb. Let's be strong. Let's be courageous. Let's work out these differences between us. As we walk over the bridge of that gulf, who is Jesus carrying us to this promised land? Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 16, John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Be of good courage. Pardon me, a good cheer, it says here. Let's bring in that joy that is within, that can be within us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you. We thank you for your word. Lord, this morning the time has run away so quickly. And there's so much more to the story of Joshua and Caleb. But I just love that story, God, that you have just recorded, had that recorded in the Bible. So we could look back and be encouraged by two men that so strongly fought forward. Because they focused on one thing, or one person, one God, and that was you, O God. They trusted in you. They believed in you. And they may move forward to fight a war that was before them, knowing that you were the one that's going to fight this battle. So God, this morning, if there's anyone here this morning that has a battle within themselves, God, help them to understand that you are there with them and that they're supposed to go forward and be courageous, and be of good courage as they move forward, and trust you to fight this battle for them. Thank you for your listening here, O God. And I just pray for your blessing, that it would be multiplied beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, We praise you, we honor you, and we give you all the glory for what has happened here this morning and what you have done, for all the good you have given us. And Lord, we trust you as we go forward that you will multiply that. In your precious name we pray. Amen. If there's anything else that you have on your heart that you'd like to pray for or give God the glory or give him thanks, whatever it is, let's take that time and let's kneel for a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Good morning. I just want to remind you again about the election coming up in Altona. It's on March 15th in Altona at 7:30. And there will be elected one deacon and one minister, so we ask you to pray about it so that the Lord will reveal the man that he has chosen for that. And the other thing is, for next Sunday, we will have the collection for Mary Barch. We're going to have it last month, but then we didn't have church that Sunday morning. So for those of you that are interested in helping, supporting her, we will open it up next Sunday, whatever is comes in next Sunday, we'll go for Mary Barch. And so just remember that. If you have any donations that you want to make, and then just mark it if you want for something else. Other than that, it will all go for Mary Barch. Then, thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming this morning. I want to encourage us all, be strong and of good courage. We're in this together. Let's do this together as a group. We want to be an army. Let's work together. Thank you so much this morning and being here and being a blessing in prayer and your presence. So let's close with a benediction, and we'll take out of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, to present you us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you.